number of years ago as an officer, and I was trying to finagle the case just a little bit, because we were in a courtroom where the judge was just, he was just ultra liberal. He just kind of let everybody walk. So I was nudging it in a particular direction, and the judge sensed that. And I'm standing up front and at the podium in front of him, and behind me are a row of my peers, and then the courtroom is full of people. And he said, "Officer Bishop, maybe you'd like to be the judge today. Maybe I should step away from the desk and let you put on the black robes, and maybe you can come up here and sit." He said, "Maybe you'd like to be the prosecutor, too. While you're at it, why don't you just go ahead and be the defense attorney as well? Hey, why don't we just close court today and let you decide everything for everyone? Because obviously you have all..." And he just went on and on and on. And all my peers in the front row were going... isn't that never good to mess with the judge? God is the judge. I suggest you don't mess with him. And adopt a preacher's prayer. "God, I don't understand what you're doing, but I trust you. I trust you, and I trust your word." So Genesis reveals God in creation, created the world. Revelation reveals God in the ending of events and the beginning of events that are yet in the future. I don't understand everything about what God has revealed. And God hasn't revealed everything to us. He has revealed to us what He wants us to know. And every once in a while, more than every once in a while, I will just say, "I do not know. I do not know. What's heaven going to be like? Wow. Eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for him." We can try to understand, we can see it, we can get... But whatever you can formulate in your mind is a small snapshot of what God has in store for the future. It just is. Last week we looked at God's final call. This week we're going to consider that call with a final warning. And that being said... Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for the privilege that you have given me these years of studying it, memorizing it, preaching from it, instructing from it, trying to help others see the way ahead from the wisdom you have given in this book. I have no wisdom apart from this book. Anything that I have or that man has is under the sun. But, Father, I don't want to live under the sun with just what is going on in this world in view, as is indicated in the book of Ecclesiastes. Father, I want to, and I believe the folks here this evening desire, to have an understanding that is above the sun, that includes, specifically, focuses on you. And what you have in store, and what you have planned for the future. May we be so minded and reminded this evening as we look to your word, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. We're going to start in verse 12 this evening, and verse 12, verse 17. Let's start with verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Of warning, verse 18, "I testify unto you, every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if Any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And notice the repetition. That's not because God is lacking for things to say. Things are repeated for emphasis. I teach a class, and I'll say, you might want to write this down. And the we're 2 hours into the class, and the kids, their eyes are glazed over in an ozone kind of look. And when a teacher says, you might want to pay attention to this because you will see this again, that is probably going to be on the test. And I happen to know it's on the test because I prepared the test. And when I look out over the room and everybody is sitting there, I know that just that statement has just gone, phew, but I don't want it to go, phew. So I'll say it a second time. For those who were not paying attention, I said, you may want to take note of this because you will see this again. And then everybody goes, oh, that's going to be on the test. They take a pencil out and they start furiously writing and marking and underlining and highlighting. And so God says it. He lets a few things go. And then he says it again. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. In verse 12, we're talking about last things. We have the last reference to the judgment seat of Christ. Reminder, there are two judgments. There's a great white throne judgment, which is a judgment of the unsaved. The book of life will be opened. Their name is not written therein, and so they will be judged based on their works. And that is not for heaven. Heaven is determined by whether or not their name is in the book. And the book will be presented, the book of life will be presented as evidence that they have not received Christ and they are automatically guilty. So what is their works have to play in? Sentencing, I would say. There are those that would teach there are different degrees of hell, different punishment based on how you lived your life. But certainly, there is plenty of evidence against them to find them guilty. You know, verse 12 does not say, it's the second judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. That's the judgment of believers. And that is, even though it does not say, verse 12 is a reference to that. My reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. And that is a reminder that we must all stand before God. Revelation 22 is the last reference in the Bible of that judgment. And why is it mentioned in the last chapter? Because it is certain. And you and I know Jesus Christ is our Savior. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will not stand at the great white throne judgment. And again, it would be helpful probably for everybody in the room to understand a little about the legal process that is in play in the state in which you live. In Virginia, if you go to the courthouse and you walk into the courthouse and your case is on the second floor, you are probably in misdemeanor criminal court. If your case is on the fifth floor, you're probably going for felony sentencing. If your case is on the fourth floor, you're probably going to civil court. Different courts cover different things. This is not unusual. We have a court here that is dealing with criminal matters, and then, if you will, the judgment seat of Christ dealing with civil matters, because your salvation is secure. When you trusted Christ, you have eternal life. You have everlasting life. If you don't have eternal life, if it's something you can lose, then you don't have eternal life. If it's something you can lose, you don't have everlasting life. And Jesus Christ, again, John 3:16, very familiar passage, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, present tense, everlasting life. God gives that. But when you die, when we die, and we'll stand before God, we will, as Christians, we will give an account of how we have lived the Christian life. Again, not for heaven or hell, but it'll determine in the millennial reign, the 1,000 years, what responsibility God gives you. You might want to go read the talents, the parable of the talents, when people go, hey, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Mentioned a couple of times to the guy that had many, to the guy that had a few, the guy that hid his talents, he was reprimanded. Romans, the judgment seat of Christ is mentioned throughout Scripture. I'll just give you some references. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Again, legal words in that verse, shall. Now, that just takes all discretion out of it. And there's no discretion. So let me call the pastor and see if he can't get me out of this. No, shall. You will do that. That is a very specific legal term. And I know I've mentioned this before. And you get the Virginia Code out, and the code says that the officer or the person or the judge shall do something. He has no discretion. He is required to do it. And so this verse, Romans 14:10, again, Romans, a legal book, and the legal writing says that we shall all. Shall is a legal word, and then all. What does that include? That's without exception. Everybody knows Jesus Christ is their Savior. Every single person, from the youngest believer to the oldest believer, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians, Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Church of Corinth was corrupt, but in the 5th chapter, the 10th verse, Paul reminded them, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Paul reminding them. So what is a preacher doing? Well, a preacher's doing what they did in the book of Romans. A preacher's doing what Paul did in the book of 2 Corinthians. We're in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, and the preacher's reminding you that every single one of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we will stand before God and have to give an account of the thing you said, the way you've done, the way you've handled God's Word, your faithfulness in soul winning, telling people about Christ. And when is that going to take place? Well, Christ is going to come quickly. So don't make plans tonight to do something dumb. Don't be a knucklehead this evening. Because in the middle of your knuckleheadedness, Jesus may come quickly. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and you'll go, uh-oh, can you give me 5 more minutes? No. It's judgment time. We are saved by grace, but we are rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ based on faithfulness. Verse 15 is a reminder, without Christ, without salvation, you'll be excluded. For without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, well, I'm not that bad of a person. And the next phrase is for you, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Have you always told the truth to everybody at all time? Yes? Well, you just told a big whopper right there. You have not, and we do not. Everybody lies. People lie often. People lie to the police regularly. And a police officer, he goes back to his car after you've lied to him, and he writes it down in his notes. What did you say? How fast do you think you're going? Oh, I was going the speed limit. He was 50 miles an hour over what he thought was the speed limit. How many beers did you have? Everybody says 2. And they could be falling down drunk, and they've been drinking for the last 10 hours, but they'd had 2. And then I would typically say something like, yeah, it's the size of a boot, maybe. I did a traffic stop outside the Fair Oaks Mall. My lieutenant backed me up, Lieutenant O'Neill, And he was on the right side, and I was on the driver's side, and I looked in the back seat on the floor, and there was a bong. You know what a bong is? It's a device with which you smoke marijuana or other illicit drugs. And I looked in the back seat, and I said to the fellow, "What's in the back seat?" He said, "I have no idea what's back there." And so I said, "Unlock the door." I reached in, I pulled it out, and I held it up, and I said, "What's this?" And he said, "I have no idea what that is." And I looked at him, and I said, "I'm a good Baptist Sunday school boy, and even I know what that is." And then for the next several months in roll call, Lieutenant O'Neill would say, "Bishop is a good Baptist Sunday school boy, and even he knows what that is." And then what did you do? I took notes. Said he doesn't know what a bong is. Liars. People are liars. They lie all the time. Children lie to their parents. "Did you eat the cookie?" "Oh, no. I didn't eat the cookie." Chocolate running down their face. Your husband or your wife says, "Where were you?" "Now, you weren't doing anything bad or evil." But you say, "I was at the 7-Eleven. And you were at Burger King. Why'd you lie?" Why do people lie? People lie all the time. And the liars are in this list. Just a reminder, it's easy to tell somebody about Christ. Verse 11 and verse 6 through 11 talks about the angel. Verse 12 and 13 talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches." And here we are tonight. And I'll say it. I have Baptist preacher friends who have, they've preached longer than I have. They've never preached in the book of Revelation. That's criminal. Criminal. Absolutely criminal. "I have sent my angel to testify to you these things." Where are these things to be taught? In the churches. And we are to be doing that. The Lord Jesus Christ declares that he has sent his angel to do that. Who is the angel of the church? Well, you need to go back to the beginning of the book of Revelation to the angel of the church of Thyatira, the angel of the church of Pergamos, who is that the pastor. And I remember at the time I said, "God has sent you an angel to tell you about..." And then you thought, "Man, it's an ugly angel, pretty ugly angel." Well, hey, didn't say it was a pretty angel that was testifying these things. It may be pretty ugly, but I stand before you to testify that these things are true. Jesus Christ is what? The root and offspring of David. A reference to Isaiah chapter 11. "He is the bright and morning star." Love that song. "I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. The fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star." He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. But you read in Isaiah chapter 14 in your NIV, and you'll find that it calls Lucifer the bright and morning star. Is that a problem? "If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the book, words of the book," verse 18 and 19, it just seems to me that's a big problem. I was speaking in a retirement home, I don't know, probably 20 years ago, and I was preaching from that passage in Isaiah that Jesus, this is where he's speaking to Lucifer, and one of the ladies came up to me, and she went to a Baptist church, and I could tell you which one, in the Alexandria area, and she said, "My pastor says that reference that you said is Lucifer is actually Jesus Christ." And I said, "Your pastor is using the NIV. And she said, well, yes, he is. I said, "The NIV has changed that." But that's not what the Bible says. It's not. What, somebody changed something. Is that a problem? It is a huge problem. Absolutely huge. The world is not getting better and better. The world is getting worse and worse. Texas PD took a 911 call this week. They found a woman in the backyard chained to some kind of metal structure. Half of her body was naked. She had been beaten, strangled. And they called the fire department. The fire department came. As the police department got there, there were people that were emptying out of the house. Fire department came. The police started detaining people as they exited the house. The fire department people came and cut off the chains that were binding her. And they took her to the hospital, and from the imprint of the wounds, the doctors said that she had been chained to that device for months. That's in America, Texas. What is that? The world's not getting better and better. You believe in evolution, that we're becoming better and better in a higher state, then you are not living in the world that I'm living in. 30 years ago, I would go into juvenile court and to get my docket, and in the morning before court would start, a busy, busy place, especially in juvenile court, all kinds of people and kids and parents and lawyers, and I would get my docket and I'd check some things on the computer, and the ladies were rustling here and about, and they'd be complaining about how heavy the docket is and how many kids are in trouble. And I would say to them, great time to testify, haven't you heard? In evolution? They look at me like, the world's getting better and better. We're getting to a higher state all the time. And they would look at me with disdain and say, well, you can't prove it in here. And you can't. You can't prove it in there. Now we're 30 years later, way down the road, and our world has not gotten better in the last 30 years. It has lived out the truth of the Bible message that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 17, we have the last invitation. Jesus says once, twice, three times, come. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who is the bride? That's the church. And you go out soul winning, and we tell them people about Christ, come to Christ. That's the job of the church. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. No, not what it says. Every creature. And you may have wondered over the years why that verse was not translated to say people. Because God in His infinite wisdom knew that in 2025 there are going to be a lot of folks wandering around that don't consider themselves people, but they are certainly some kind of creature. And so He said that we are not to exclude them. It's easy to do that. They look different than you. They're all cut up, tatted up, colored up. Boys pretending to be girls, girls claiming to be men. We don't want to give them the gospel. We are to take the gospel to every creature. Yeah, pretty clear. Come appears three times in this verse alone. It is a consistent theme in Scripture. We are to come to Christ. Genesis chapter 7, Noah was told to come thou into the ark. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, the people were reminded, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 1, are you thirsty? Come ye to the waters. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Coming to Christ is a consistent theme. It is a consistent invitation throughout Scripture, from the book of Genesis right through to the last chapter of the book of Revelation. John 7:37, the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, if you're athirst, come. Jesus cried, come. What is that? That's an invitation. Why, Pastor, why are you getting so upset about that? Because I have preacher friends that do not like to give an invitation. They just don't. Just, okay, well, that's it for today. Let's just all go home. No invitation. And if you give an invitation, you can go on any of the message boards, religious message board, and I'll tell you what, you want to have a good fight on a message board, you just say, I go to a Baptist church where the pastor gives an invitation, and you want to see some vitriol spewed out. Well, your pastor is not biblical, and your pastor is doing things, and your pastor is pressuring people, and your pastor is making people make an emotional decision, and invitations are not biblical. And I don't know what Bible they're using. But there's invitations all the way through. Come, come, come. Jesus said, come. He stood aside and cried. Come. You're thirsty? Come. And here in the book of Revelation, in this verse, three times, come, come, come. And let him that is here say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. What is that? That's an invitation. That's a plea. That's a pretty passionate plea as well. Invitations stress what? Urgency. The day will come. How will it come? Quickly, and there will be no time. It will be too late. Holy Spirit says, come. The bride, the church says, come. And invitations are sacred. And they're in God's word. Whosoever heareth, we sing the song, whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound. And we are supposed to do that. Hey, oh. My grandson, he'll call me on phone. My son will say, who do you want to talk to? He said, Grandpa, if I pick up the phone and say, hey, how you doing, buddy? Grandma. So there's nothing special about Grandpa. But he'll say, and then my son will finally say, okay, it's time for bed. You guys say goodbye. Say, Grandpa, I love you. And, Grandpa, I love you. Huh? Grandpa. Say it louder. Grandpa can't hear you. But you can see his lips moving. And my son, you can hear him whispering in his ear, Grandpa, I love you. Grandpa, I love you. He's like, Grandpa, I love you. We're not to say, come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. I'm a secret Christian. I don't want anybody to know. We're supposed to shout, come, come. Shout the sound. Let the joyful tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news wherever a man is found. Whosoever will may come. And that's what we're supposed to do. What is it? Is it biblical? Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, 10 times in John. Revelation 22:17 is the last whosoever. It's the last one. Also, we have the last warning. Verse 18 and 19, be warned, don't add to it, don't subtract from it. So people take these two verses, Revelation 18 and 19 of chapter 22, and they surmise, and big debate about this. Well, this is just talking about the book of Revelation. What the NIV has done to Lucifer and Jesus and the bright and morning star, that's not what this is talking about. This is just talking about Revelation. Well, let's consider the totality of Scripture. Psalm 138, verse 2. God has magnified His word above His name. And in this last chapter, we have a warning. But that warning is not only found in Revelation chapter 22. That warning is found in Deuteronomy. That's the Old Testament for those of you who are keeping track. Verse 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Does that sound an awful lot like this? It certainly does to me. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32, whatsoever thing I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Under that, that's Deuteronomy. It sounds an awful lot like Revelation 22. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. It is not just a Revelation 22 thing. It's a God thing. Galatians chapter 1, we're reminded that if a preacher or an angel preach another gospel, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Again, don't tamper with the word of God. So those that believe in open revelation, tongues, new revelations, dreams and visions, they're done. They're gone. And that's over. The canon is closed. And so when you would say, I had a dream, and God told me, you've just added to the word of God. And Moy, you are warned not to do that under penalty of law. I'll just say, beware of preachers, Bible translations, YouTubers who tamper with the Word of God. Satan loves to tamper with the Word of God. And he's done that from the very beginning in the book of Genesis. I'm going to end this evening with the Texas Penal Code 37.09. Knowing an investigation or an official proceeding is pending, they just updated their law. And I was reading law stuff most recently. I don't know what you do in your spare time. I read law stuff. Stuff from Virginia. Ah, this is from Texas. This is a law thing. They may change the law. I want to know what's going on. So, knowing an investigation or an official proceeding is pending or in progress, if a person alters, destroys, conceals any record, document, or thing with intent to impair its verity, legibility, or availability as evidence in the investigation or official proceeding, that means if a person makes, presents, or uses any record, document, or thing with knowledge of its falsity and with intent to affect the course or outcome of the investigation or official proceeding, it is a third-degree felony unless a body is involved, and then it becomes a second-degree felony. A person commits an offense if the person knows that an offense has been committed, alters, destroys, or conceals any record, document, or thing with the intent to impair its verity, legibility, or availability as evidence in any subsequent investigation of or official proceeding related to the offense or observes a body. Say, preacher, you don't really read that stuff for fun. Oh, I do. I do. What's the intent? Well, I wanted to know what a second-degree felony was. 20 years in prison, $10,000 fine. For tampering with evidence. It's in the Texas Penal Code, but it's also in God's code. You tamper with the evidence with the intent to destroy, alter, change. It's not just man's law. God says, you're in deep trouble. Let's just hold high the Word of God. Don't try to change it. Let's just obey it. You mess with this evidence, there's a huge, huge penalty. You bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, thank you for the opportunity to present your truth this evening from the book of Revelation. Perchance you're here this evening and you do not know Christ. Three invitations, come, come, come. Shout, shout the sound. Perchance you're here by way of technology, but you've never trusted Christ by way of coming to Jesus Christ. Not your baptism, not your church membership. But tonight you say, preacher, pray for me. I need to be saved. Talking about invitations, we should give one. Anyone here tonight say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. Slip your hand up and hold it up. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your word. Doesn't need to be changed, altered. Needs to be obeyed. Help us to do it. Help us to put the preeminence on it that you do. It's hard for us to imagine that you have elevated your word even above your name. And some folks that would never take your name in vain, but would think nothing of changing, altering, diminishing your word or the veracity of it. May we understand the seriousness of it and help us to stay faithful to you, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.